Welcome to Surviving Life with Danny Van Villy in the building. Hope you are doing well and you're having a beautiful Wednesday. My lovely Lady V is not with us. She's going to be on a break for a little while, but she has given me some homework, okay? There's some good stuff that we'll be talking about, and we really want to give you a man's perspective and things that women are really questioning and asking themselves about. So, for this purpose, in this season, we are going to be SLWV by man for women. I'm expecting to have a lot of good conversations that will help you just see things from the right perspective. When I made the announcement last night, I asked you guys, what are the kinds of things that you want to know about? You know, what are the things that you ask yourself about men that, you know, you're not sure about, or there isn't a man close enough to you to give you the advice that you are looking for? Mr. Van Billy is going to be on the hot seat. So CT sent us a message yesterday during the show, and she said something so interesting, and that is what we'll be discussing today. So stay tuned. When I come back, I'll announce what the topic is and we take it from there.
It's time for the recap.
All right, so we're recapping what happened last night. We were introducing the fact that we will be talking about topics that relate to men, but from a woman's perspective. Or women have questions, and a lot of times there just isn't a place where you can go. And we get accused of not talking a lot, okay? One of the biggest complaints you'll get when doing marriage counseling is men do not talk. Yeah, so I was hoping this would be a time where men can talk and women can ask all the questions they want, and we will try and attempt to be as open as possible. And I will also allow all the gentlemen listening to chip in and let us know what they think. Now, when we speak of biblical leadership in a marriage, it's such a sensitive topic. It should be a beautiful topic. It should be a very normal topic. But unfortunately, our life experiences interfere with what we see as biblical leadership in marriage. Now, before I go into my thoughts on it, I'm first going to give us a scripture. I know you probably have heard the scripture before, but let's go into it together. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 7. It says this about love, okay? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. When we read the scripture, in fact, even when I'm reading it, I want you to notice how you responded to it emotionally. You know, how many of us have become so cynical that when you hear that it's hoping in all things, it bears all things, it believes all things, it endures all things, and you look around you and you live in a culture of divorce where we don't endure all things, where we don't hope in all things. We actually, a lot of people will be like, ah, yeah, no, the marriage ended. Yeah, no, that's how it is these days. We're no longer hoping that things will go well, that God will come through. No, a lot of people just see things not working out. Bears all things. We are seeing circumstances now where when things go bad, instead of bearing all things, people choose to walk away. So this makes biblical leadership in marriage challenged, because you can have the children of people who came from environments that broke coming into a marriage with little to no expectation, or sometimes expecting so much without a real example that you've walked with that can inform you and show you a balanced view. So when we say leadership, sometimes the leaders have failed, you know, and I want to say this, when you look at the Bible and you look at what happened between Adam and Eve, it is once Adam ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which is not an apple, by the way, once he ate that, that is when the displacement happens. So whenever there's a failure in leadership, we look at men. We start there. But you can't lead someone who does not want to be led as well. So with that, we look at the men and the women together, how they come together to create that unity and build an environment where they can hope in all things, where they can endure all things, where they can believe in all things, where they can bear all things. So when we find ourselves in an environment that is not telling us the story, when it's not preparing us to endure, when it's not teaching us how to be patient, how to not envy. Remember, Instagram is envy. When you are married on this side and you're looking at the Kumalos were on holiday, the Kumalos bought this, this one got a ring, this one got that. It impacts the love in our home. It impacts the love in our marriage. And the opening line here, love is patient. How many of us are no longer patient? Not just patient, we lack patience with each other, but also just the patience of building a life together. A lot of people want something that's already done. You know, so this opening verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 7, lays the difficulty of what the demand of love is versus our modern day culture. Now, how do we bring ourselves from where we are to a place where we can allow biblical leadership in a marriage to take place? That's what I'm hoping we can deal with today on Surviving Life with the Vambillies. And I want to hear from you guys. I know there's a lot of married people listening. 071-364-0376. We want to hear from you. How did you get biblical leadership in a marriage correct? Hang out with Mr. Vambilly here on Surviving Life with the Vambillies. And we are talking about biblical leadership in marriage. And I knew we could not just jump into that topic before considering what is happening in our society right now. You know, and just what we discussed earlier in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 7 gives us a picture of what love should look like. And I think the first step of biblical leadership in marriage is healing. You know, you have to accept that our environment is broken. Our environment is not the best. A lot of people are coming out of marriages where things did not go right, where parents were separated or there was no marriage at all. Now, that can allow us to be suspicious, you know, to not hope in all things, like it said in 1 Corinthians 13, to not have good hope and good beliefs, that to really believe that what we're doing will work out, or to come in with the endurance, you know, expecting that no matter what happens, our marriage will pull it through. You know, we're not looking and saying, oh man, I'm coming in this preparing to bear all things. Instead, our society can communicate to you that, hey, you know what, at the least resistant, just move on. This is what happens. That's the standard of the day. But beloved, for a biblical leadership to even operate in your house, in your marriage, the first thing you have to do is you have to heal. Why? Because leadership can look bad when you don't heal. Now, I'm going to explain this from a job perspective, okay? If you go into a workspace and you've got a problem with authority, and maybe the authorities in your life failed you, what you can find yourself doing is directing the same energy, the same feelings of anger and failure towards your leadership. You're almost afraid that, you know, people are going to fail me. I've been fending for myself, so let me do it. You know, let me behave in a way where you're protecting yourself, but also being rebellious at the same time. Now, you may not do it consciously, but there's an authority problem. And I believe that when we've not healed from our authority failures, especially from our homes and from a marital point of view, we can come into our marriage combative. What does that mean? You can pick up the problems of your parents and be ready to fight your innocent partner for it. You know, let's say your partner wants to sit down so you guys make decisions, and they just suggest, okay, with this, we should do that. Your initial reaction can be, don't tell me what to do, okay? And you're not realizing, why am I being so combative? Why am I not allowing for the leadership to take place? And those kinds of things can easily be the projections that are coming with us from home. So dealing with a right foundation in your marriage will help you to allow the biblical picture of marriage to take place. And there's no way of doing it if you don't choose to heal from the past, to heal from the failures, to heal from the things that hurt. And you might be listening and saying, yeah, Danny, I want to heal, but where do I start? You know, I think the first step is always admitting that there is a problem. Because when you admit there's a problem, you take time to almost account, you know, account for what worked, for what didn't work, for what you got right and what you didn't get right. And also to separate it from your identity. Because those things don't determine you as a person, though they influence your behavior. Remember, something can influence your behavior, but you don't allow it, don't wear it into your personality. Don't say, this is who I am. Because when we're coming into a marriage space, the first thing we have to do is change. You know, you can't say, no, you met me this way, this is how I'm going to be. It doesn't work that way. We have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to grow. So admitting that we have a problem allows us to deal with it. And it's actually best if you could do it prior to getting married, you know, because it will just make life a bit easier for you. But, you know, this is life. You know, it's not like things go according to plan. Some of the the issues you have, you will only find out when you've got a neighbor who's so close to you, who's actually married to you. And that neighbor, who is your spouse, begins to poke at things that you don't even know existed. So it's so important for us, you know, to acknowledge that, hey, some of the problems you'll find out later. But if you can accept that there is a problem in the way you see marriage, even biblically, especially when there's been an abuse of marital roles using scripture, which I think is going to be our next point when I come back. For now, I hope I'm making sense. Let me know if we are on the same page. 071-364-0376. You still hang out with Daniel Vanvili on Surviving Life with the Vanvilis, and we are trying to lay the foundation and really go in on this topic of biblical leadership in the marriage. And the last thing I said was, how do we heal, right? Especially when we've seen the abuse of biblical leadership. I'm going to use something I read recently, where this is actually quite sad, but I'm gonna share it as reported. So there's a YouTube family that was abusing their children. You know, one of these families that are always filming and posting on YouTube, but they would use scripture to say, the Bible says you should, you know, correct your children, do not spare the rod. But their idea of not sparing the rod went from just, you know, spanking the children to letting them stand in the sun without sunblock. And, you know, the police were called in, the children had blisters on their feet, to locking up their children, you know, if they'd misbehaved. Now, I'm just using this example to say, sometimes people are quoting scripture, but what they're doing is not in line, because it's abuse. You know, there's no scripture that says, let your child go without food, or lock your child up in the room. You know, so that person's way of interpreting not sparing the rod can really go from healthy correction of a child to an abusive reaction from the parent, okay? So the same thing can happen to us, where our parents could be quoting the right thing as husband and wife, but doing the wrong thing. So let me give you an example. Maybe you come from a home where the idea of a man leading the house is no one else has a say. What I say goes. Only I can speak. That's an abuse of something, a role that should be good. You know? Oh, families where you'll find the mother has no say. So it is very easy for the child who's seen that to interpret any form of leadership as silencing. Did you hear that? Because you've seen authority using the authority to silence a household, you can interpret leadership, even in your own marriage, as silencing. So we need to be able to look at our parents, and this is a very hard thing to do, to look at your parents and unbiasedly say, they got this area wrong, okay? But there's still a healthy version of what they got wrong. You know, it's just like maths. You know, you'll be in a maths class and there's someone getting 30% and someone else getting 100. And you need to be able to say, wow, even though someone who I love, I admire, who I expected to give me the love and support or the right picture of marriage has failed, there is still a good picture of marriage and there is still a healthy version of it. Because if you don't accept that there is a healthy version of that thing, you will not allow it to happen in your house. So the leadership you're looking for will not be able to happen. You know, because obviously the question came from a lady, and we're living in South Africa. There's a lot of physical abuse. There's a lot of gender-based violence. So it's easy for our women to feel like, you know, I don't even want to be married because I'm hearing all of these things all of the time, and not have the expectation that there is still good. Hence the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, is so important. The last part that says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Now, I'm reading this to say, we need to have a hope that we will actually be in a good situation, that our marriage will not be the status quo, you know, that the union you are building can overcome the things that are common in our society. You know, so which is hard to do. It's hard to have a good expectation in a world that constantly sells us a bad expectation. So if you are listening today and you know that you were exposed to things that were not correct and that probably gave you a bad picture of leadership in marriage, and you don't really have a place to relate, it's really advisable that you trust the Lord and you open that area to Him, that He will allow us to heal and change our expectations again. So that when the ones we love, our spouses, are really loving on us and helping us and directing, we will embrace it. Great Kindness by 363. You are on Surviving Life with the Vanvillies. And we are about to wrap up the first hour of our show. And I'm opening up the WhatsApp lines 0713640376 for your input. You know, if you've had to heal in your marriage, and you know, maybe there were things you were misreading, you know, and that really allowed you to not see good biblical leadership in marriage for what it is, and you got to heal from it, please share with us. Send us a voice note on 0713640376. Please don't make the voice note 5 minutes. Try to keep it within a minute, at least a minute 30 seconds, because we want to hear from you. We are all in this journey together. And I love to sit behind the mic, you know, from a place of humility, because boy, we are learning. I love to be with older people who've been married 50, 60 years, and just hearing from them the evolution of their marriage. You know, how when they started, there were things that they didn't understand. There were things they were misreading. But you see them standing and you see that they've pulled through, and it gives you hope for yourself, for your shortcomings, and for your own marriage. You know, so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, the opening words is, love is patient. You know, for me, patience is not just, I'm waiting on you. We have to be patient also with ourselves, especially when we're still failing, when we're still not getting things right, to not give up and say, ah, the world will be better without me. No, the world needs you, but the world needs a healed version of you. So you have to be patient. You have to allow for things to grow, because there's something beautiful when you can look back 10 years and say, oh man, when we started, we didn't allow each other to lead. But where we are now, everyone is playing their role, understanding each other's weaknesses, understanding where the other partner needs a bit of your patience. You know, so in biblical leadership, there is patience. And it's such a key thing, because there is always someone who is strong in an area, and your partner probably needs to grow. We are not gifted in the same places. Yeah, so if you've got it right and you're just impatient, like, yeah, I'm getting this right, why isn't this person understanding it? Then you're not being patient with your partner. You know, you are using your strength, you know, to be arrogant, you know, and to boast. That's why even part of this scripture says, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. You know, so it's important that you do not use your strengths to oppress one another. You're with Mr. Van Billy. We'll be back. I want to hear from you when we come back. Amen. It's called Elevate Church Music, A Greatest Love, featuring Cliff M. Totally loving the vibes. Before that, we had Plead the Blood by Chris Davenport. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. It's that time of the show where we get to listen to your views and read all your messages. And here we go.
Hi, Impact Radio. I think what changed my marriage is the fact that I don't look through my eyes at my husband anymore. I look through God's eyes at him. Because I can see what a good person he is, and what he's meant to do in God's eyes. We are now 15 years. This year is 15 years that we have been married, and 20 years together. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, that's such an encouraging message. And yeah, I think that is such a good way, you know, to go about marriage, to not just see your partner from your own eyes, but the way the Lord sees them. Because, hey, we need to do that. We need to do that a lot. Okay. Benjamin says this. My name is Benjamin. Hi, please. Can you pray for me? I'm a divorcee and now have a bit of a fear to marry again. The thing is, I can't be a Paul. I need to marry again. It's tied to my destiny. I just need grace as I become the right partner, to find the right partner. But how do I overcome this fear? You know, first of all, Benjamin, it's good to hear you as someone who was divorced, wanting to heal. You know, what I found many times, especially when we counsel, is you can find someone, because of the hurt of divorce, becoming cynical and also deciding, I'm not getting divorced ever, married ever again, and rather living in sin and all of that. So you need to first give yourself a tap on the back, because you are healing. You know, the fact that this line here says, as I become the right partner, in other words, you're acknowledging that you need to change, that you need to be the right partner. Now, Benjamin, I'm saying this in general. I'm just using your situation to speak to a broader audience. I personally believe, and we once had someone on the show where they were divorced for 5 years and then got remarried, and they are now married, I believe, for 12 years together. So they were married together, they divorced each other, And then 5 years later, when they both went individually and got help and healed, they could even see that, look, we weren't meant to get divorced in the first place. You know, so I want to start there. There are many, many couples in our day and age that are getting remarried to their exes. Why? Because they are recognizing that we are being told in this generation that with every problem, we must just leave our marriages. With every problem, there's something wrong, you must leave. And sometimes after leaving, you look and you realize, man, but we divorced for such small problems. But now it's putting aside the pride, putting aside the hurt, and getting help individually and together that is helping a lot of couples come back together. We just did a campaign with a couple that runs a company that deals with weddings. And they said to us, their biggest market right now is people getting remarried who were divorced. So it might not apply to your situation, Benjamin. It might also. But I just want to first say that a lot of people who are divorced right now should actually not have gotten divorced in the first place. Now, secondly, when we are hurt, it is so important to say to yourself, let me go see someone. Let me go see someone to help me. Go see a psychologist. Go see a Christian counselor. Why am I saying this? It's because if it's not your area of speciality, how will you help yourself? You know, even psychologists and counselors themselves have counselors, because it's so rare. You cannot find a person who is so self-aware that they'll know their own wrongs. They'll know how they went wrong. No, you almost need a second eye to sit with you and show you areas that you can fix, you know. And I pray that a lot of us will do that while we are still married, that we will actually get the help we need while we are married, because a lot of divorces should have not even happened in the first place. And when they do happen, sometimes you just look at the things and you're like, man, we could have overcome this. So I want to encourage you, Benjamin, to not give up, to actually find help so that the Lord allows you to become the right partners you've expressed. And I believe in that healing, you will overcome the fear, because you'll be able to identify the things that went wrong, how it went wrong. And you know, just to empower yourself to be better in whatever marriage the Lord puts you in. I hope that's encouraging. Thank you so much for messaging. It's so good to hear from you. I see another message just came in. Hi, Danny. Okay, Michelle is still typing. Stay tuned. I'm quickly going to play you guys Bethel Music, I Still Believe.
With you all the way on Impact 103.
Hanging out with Mr. Vambilly, and we're speaking marriage, and it's just so beautiful to read the different messages that are coming in, you know, where we all acknowledging that, hey man, this is, it's work. Let me read this message that came down. Good afternoon, Danny. My name is Amelia Sally. My husband and I are married for 5 years, and I would like to agree that it's not always easy, especially for our generation. We cannot succeed in marriage without Jesus. He needs to be the captain of the ship. I agree, Amelia. You know, sadly, we have preached a gospel that basically says to Christians that they're not going to go through hard times, that everything is going to be smooth. And I think what it's done is it's not given people the fight. You know, no one is expecting to go through anything. You know, so everyone has just the expectation that their children will never fall sick, their marriages will never have problems, their cars will never break down. And when you've been told that so often, at the first sight of any kind of problem, you can think you married wrong. You can think, you know, maybe your person's not the right person, or you should just leave your marriage. And I think that's not right. We need Jesus. You know, we cannot succeed in marriage without Jesus. Amelia is so right. And we also have to teach our generation that the gospel we have is not for good times only. You know, yes, God will bless you. Yes, God will raise you up. Yes, God will allow you, you know, to become the person you are meant to be. But there is going to be challenges. Yeah. And when there are challenges, that's when you press into the gospel. We have to walk a road of forgiveness. We have to walk a road of growth. And, you know, so it's not just nice things. No, no, no. It's not just nice things. So I want to hear from more of you. Very encouraging messages coming in. And then Nomava also sent a message, just happy on how I responded previously. And I want to say, Nomava, I'm not going to read your message on air, but I want to just touch on something. A lot of people find it rare that there is an advice to go back to your old partner. But it's such a deep topic, and I think it's something we need to talk about more. So when I come back, I'm going to talk about that, and then we'll just allow the Lord to lead.
Hi, Danny. Yes, it's what's encouraging is the fact that so many people are getting back with their old partners. The Lord warned me 2012 that my wife was going to divorce me. I was very haughty. God doesn't allow divorces, and it happened. He actually warned me 3 times, and he also warned me that she's going to come back. Now it's been 10 years already, but we're seeing one another. We're having dries, and things are changing. And it's very encouraging to hear that God is not only moving in my life, but in a lot of other people's lives, and is basically restoring what the devil came to steal from us. So yeah, thanks. I do appreciate.
Bringing you the heart of the music, Impact 103.
What a beautiful message there. Rudolph will be praying for you and your wife. Look at that. 10 years later, they are getting back together. You know, I think we have failed our marriages, legally speaking now. Okay. And what I mean by this is we now have a legal system that encourages people to separate. It almost makes the process faster than it did in the past, where, you know, people who were not getting along first had a step of separation. And the separation time was not just for you to finalize and wait for the divorce, but it was supposed to be a time where there is some kind of help provided to try to see if the two couples individually can find the help they need to restore their marriage. You know, but instead, it feels like because we no longer have a heart for marriage, you know, we push people apart instead of restoring them. And as a marriage counselor, I've seen it a lot, that you'll have someone in front of you already with the expectation that you will tell them to just divorce. Yeah, and it doesn't work that way. Now, this has also come about because of a certain accusation and a reality of what has happened. There's been many cases in the past of physical abuse where women were kind of forced to stay in those marriages because of lack of finances and maybe difficult situation. So it's kind of given us the mindset to say, if someone is in a bad situation, get them out, which is also true. You know, there are situations where the person must be gotten out. But I've personally seen situations where in my own strength, I believed, just get them out, you know. And then the Lord says, no, I'm going to heal them. And a year or two later, because the couple individually went through the work, you meet them again and they are a different set. You know, they are healed. The same abusive person is now remorseful and loving. And, you know, because someone is an abuser does not mean they love being abusive. You know, they also need help. You know, so let's really trust the Lord to be faithful, to restore, and to help us heal. Someone sent the message anonymously. Please note, I would like to stay anonymous. Okay. We need help in our second marriage. Our biggest fight is that my husband snores me constantly awake. Then I go and sleep in the spare bedroom, which he takes personal. All right, so I think in such a situation, you get medical assistance. Find out why they're snoring. Snoring is not, it's not normal. It is health related. And if you can try to get help, because of course, if your wife is not sleeping, she's not going to be a good person. I was listening to something yesterday, just a psychologist who was actually speaking about how the lack of sleep is so bad for the human body. You know, it's so bad that you can actually go longer not eating than you can not sleeping. I might be wrong, but I think the exact days were you can go 10 days. If you go 10 days without sleeping, you could die. Okay, but not eating, you know, you can go up to 40 days not eating, you know. So it is a serious matter, and I believe you guys need to get help and to approach it medically so that you can see what is causing the snoring. But it is a deep problem. And if it's still not working, I might have a little trick. You know, you need to get those pods that you put in your ears and you can play some quiet music while he snores just to help you guys during this time as you get help with the snoring. I see more of your messages coming. I will be reading them now. We've got about 20 minutes left. So if you've got something to say in regards to this topic, please send it in now. When I come in, I'll read them and then we'll be closing off the show.